Safety, dependability, and power. Chevy Silverado isn't happy unless the work is hard and the day is long. No wonder Silverado is America's number one best-selling retail pickup truck. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
All right, here's another nuts and bolts every day. What's going on with this world conversation? Tracy Weiner's on the phone. Hi, Tracy. How are you?
Hi. Good morning, John.
Tracy posted on Facebook, you know, she was a longtime producer here and co-hosts the podcast called Apparently. All right, so Trace, I do have what you wrote, but why don't you just give us your version of it? What's bugging you today?
So my daughter's going to be a freshman this fall, and so I started thinking about college and what it's like, because she's my oldest, so I don't know. But I decided to go back and look at where I went to school and look at the dorms, just out of curious, laying in my jammies one night, like, oh, I'm just going to look and see what it looks like. And I go to find out that down at University of Illinois, where I used to live, we called it the six-pack. The dorms are now differentiated by, quote, communities. So my dorm, Snyder Hall, is now substance-free, a substance-free dorm, which I thought all dorms were substance-free, but I guess In this 2020, that's not the case. But some dorms are leadership-focused, some are STEM-focused, and so on. And it just, I don't know why. I guess I sound like a boomer. I don't understand why everything has to be differentiated, because when I went to school, I had a roommate that listened to the Grateful Dead, that had incense, that was the absolute polar opposite of me, and we got along great and even went on to live with each other later outside of the dorms. And, like, I think it was I was richer for having somebody that I didn't really necessarily, I was in Greek life, she wasn't. Like, it was wonderful. So why are we differentiating so much so that that's all my kid is going to know is the people that are just, like, that want to be leaders or are in healthcare or whatever?
I think when kids go away to school, it really is good if they go to some place a little outside their comfort zone. Don't go with all the kids in your class and all your buddies to the same school and all stay in the same dorm or same fraternity, because then all you've changed is your address. You haven't changed your view, your experience.
Yeah, you're not learning to accept diversity or different ways of looking at things. I mean, that's why when you go on Facebook now, there's never a civil argument. You know, it's like, get off my lawn. You don't think like me. And my thread that I did on my page, like, all my friends were chiming in, like, oh, girl, we got to talk. Like, things are so different now. Kids keep their dorm doors closed in the hallways. No one hangs out at the residence halls in the cafeterias. They're all on their phones. When I was in school, everyone hung out in my room on 90210 night, and we all watched Beverly Hills 90210. It was like a community thing. Every single door was open, and if you were bored, you walked down the hall and you just popped into someone's room and sat down on their futon and hung out and talked. And it was sad to me to hear all that was changing.
Yeah, I don't have much to say about that, Trace. I mean, if that's really the thing, then I'm really sorry to hear that.
Well, but when my kids went to school, in fact, Noah, one of them was, I think it was in Minnesota where they were doing it. And the idea was, if you are in a STEM education, a STEM area, it's nice to be around people who are also sharing those interests, can help with homework and things like that. I mean, it's,
well,
there are reasons for it.
At Carbondale, they had, I can think of two segregated, if you will, dorms. One was for foreign students, and that strikes me as a bad idea now that I think about that. Better we all integrate with them. The other one was for religious students who said that faith was important to them, and they put them. And then there was also a study, intense studies dorm or wing of a dorm. So that didn't seem to bother me that much, but also not many people opted for that. Mostly we were all just thrown into this dormitory blender, and you just kind of roomed with whatever you got.
I had people calling me and telling me about how selection of your roommate is now. It's like going on Tinder and picking, like, you like swipe left or swipe right. I think what do they call it, like potluck or something? Like, I didn't know. I just said, just put me with anybody. Now it's even like more sophisticated than that.
Lots of texts about this, and you posted this on Facebook, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have another minute?
Sure.
Okay, I want to know what the response for you was. I'll tell you what it's been for me. And what do you say? The number's 312-981-7200. What do you think about this? Have you run into this? This is your chance to call or text. Tracy Weiner, producer and blogger and podcaster, on a phone line, talking to us about her observations about the way kids are not segregated at the, or let's see, segregated, not segregated. They're not integrated. They're segregated in college life these days by the dormitories. They put them in groups that are exactly like them. And she thinks that's a shame. John, get used to this. It's unfortunately the world we live in now. Oh, my God, John, I don't have kids. I'm only 50, and I can't believe dorms are like that now. This is horrible. Kids have to be exposed to different types of people. John, 5 years ago, my daughter declared psychology as her major and was put into a dorm with others who had the same declaration. The very next major semester, she changed her major and requested to move because she said, all of the psychology majors are crazy. She eventually found a non-crazy roommate for her final 3.5 years. Were you hearing stuff like that on your Facebook page, Trace?
Yeah, I heard. I actually heard a couple people that were in support of it. Some people were in awe. And other people chimed in from other universities out of state, saying that it's a learning community and it's fairly common now, practice.
Here's what it is. It's a marketing tool for schools to get your kids to sign up to go there. You know, I mean, they're competing in all these different ways. The food is different and all of that. And this is just another way where they create these communities. If it's a lead. So, you know, Tracy, you could be in a leadership community dorm and not like the Grateful Dead or have a roommate who likes music you don't like. I don't know that. I think you are going to have so many more important things to worry about by the time your freshman goes to college.
But I also think that it's this snowplow parent mentality. It's another thing for the parents to insert themselves into the lives of the kids to pave a clean path for them so that there's no unknowns. Everything, you know, we will fix everything in advance for the kids. To me, this is what it sounds like.
Well, that is absolutely true. All my friends that have older kids are all talking about the Facebook groups on for every college or university and the absolute insanity that that these parents are talking about on these pages about their kids and trying to
I'm on
mitigate
one of those.
Problems.
It is crazy. I have a freshman daughter. Where should she go get her hair cut? And then other parents will give recommendations.
Wait a minute. This is... You guys are saying that the parents have their own Facebook groups?
The schools yes. Have Facebook parent groups.
Sure.
So, like, I'm on the Miami one, and so sometimes I will look at it just for kicks, but the things that they are talking about are, you know, my daughter needs to... Or my freshman son needs to get to Walmart at 10 a.m. Can someone help?
Oh, how about this? My freshman daughter's professor booked an exam on Wednesday before Thanksgiving. How can we, what dean or who do we talk to get that changed? Because it conflicts with our vacation.
See, in all of those cases, I don't mind people wanting to know where to get a haircut or how to get to the store or how to change an exam. But like you said, Trace, I'd rather they knock on their door of their suite mate and say, hey, do you guys know what I can do? You know, network interpersonally.
Yes, have the actual college kid, you know, advocate for themselves and ask around to their friends. Not because if I told my daughter where to go get her haircut, she'd go to the exact opposite place.
Believe me, I suspect that the students have no idea what's going on this page. And they would be mortified by it.
But I also suspect that the parents are saying, hey, there's a good place where you can get a decent haircut at the mall, and here's the address.
Sure.
I guess there's no harm in that. But the kids want nothing to do with this, you're hoping, right, Steve?
Well, I think a lot of it's embarrassing. You know, my 21-year-old.
Exactly. Think about the age of these kids and how responsible you had to be when you were their age, how much stuff you got done and got done wrong on your own. By the way, I just once again, I know this is a very boomer conversation, but there it is. It doesn't make it wrong. Ed, what did you want to say? You're on WGN.
Yeah, I'm just wanting to get out and say how bad it is. These are all taking the same subject. They're not all white, so they'll diversify. So they're getting that experience. Plus, later on, when they're out to get a job, they're already forming their people that they can go to get jobs and to get help. But, I mean, it almost sounds like, you know, in the rooms, it's just all black, all white, all Spanish, all Protestant, Catholic, Jews, and so forth. Which, if those, as long as they still mix different races, they're getting some experience.
Well, I think that's what Steve was trying to say, too, that just because you have a similar interest doesn't mean you won't have other dissimilarities. Ed, I'm going to go from you to Kathy. What did you want to say, Kathy? You're on the air.
Yes. I just wanted to say, when my son was in college, I remember we just talked to him like once a week. He had just bought himself a cell phone. You know, just the difference, and he's 35. So it's not that long ago, but things were way different. I have a friend whose daughter has more recently been in college. She talked to her every single day. And, you know, she talked to her friends who decided to stay home every day. So you're not living in the moment.
I'm going from Kathy to Tom. Thank you, Kathy. Tom, it's your turn. You're on WGN. Hi, Tom.
Hey, John. Thanks for taking my call. Just since we're on the college, talking about college stuff, does anybody have a good place or where to go to get information about borrowing to pay for this expensive adventure that I'm going to be taking on in the fall?
Are you setting me up here? Do you not know the answer to that?
Well, I've been asking, and no one can give me a good answer.
Seriously, so you are trying to borrow the money to send your kid to college?
Well, I'm going to have to borrow some because, unfortunately, I can't afford it all.
Oh, no, listen, yes. Trust me, nobody can. Nobody can. I've been out of that game for a very long time myself. The only advice I've been given lately is that you should, I mean, this is that rake, you know that commercial we do for the lady, Ray
yes.
Kaplan? Okay,
yep.
So she helps people who have college debt, and she says, one smart thing you can do before you incur college debt, and you will, that's okay, is to borrow it from the right places and to have the right person borrow it. So if you and your wife both have income, or if just one of you has income, make sure the person borrowing the money is the person with the least income. Just put one name
right.
on it. Number
yes.
two, borrow from a federal source before you go to the private market. Those loans are more forgivable. You have more options for debt forgiveness if you borrow from federal sources rather than private sources.
So a federal source be through the school?
I don't know the answer to that.
Oh, okay.
Here. Do me this favor. Would you just call Ray? I know.
Yes.
And just tell her I said hi. And just say, what does that even mean? Because John said a federally funded source. And I don't even know what that is now. But
all right, I'll do that.
Yeah, her number is 312-294-8989.
8989.
Affirmative.
294. Thank you, John. I'm a caller.
All right. Tell her we said hi, Tom. I'm sorry I couldn't be of more specific help. Tracy, any thoughts on all of that?
Hey, man, if I knew how to do it, I'd be writing a book about it, and there's lots of books about it. So
Elif had a funny story, by the way, about somebody famous showing up at her dorm room.
Yeah, I can't believe that I met this person in college and sort of like hung out with them a lot in my apartment, in my dorm apartment. It was a dorm. I had a roommate who grew up on the south side. I never got to pick my roommates, and she was younger than me by a year or two. And I grew up in LaGrange, went to Lyons Township High School. She went to Jones College Prep. And long story short, I knew of this rapper who wasn't famous yet. He's famous now, but I thought he was cool because I would see him perform with this band in town that I liked. And one day I got a knock on the door, on my bedroom door, and this rapper said, "Hey, I'm Chance. I heard that you wanted to meet me."
How many years ago was that?
I want to say 7.
So he was 18 at the time?
Just about. Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Chance the rapper, she's right here. Swing on by anytime. I'm out of time. Tracy, interesting conversation. You always shoot us some fun topics. I appreciate you saying hi today.
Hey, thanks for talking.